And Pastor Inez, of course, I missed you yesterday, but I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. So I'm blessed, you guys. I'm glad to be here. I'm trying to, if you're trying to figure out what I'm doing, I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's quite often that pastors don't listen to the Holy Ghost. And I know I'm not talking to this house, but I just want you to be aware next time you walk into somebody else's house and you go, he wasn't listening to the Holy Ghost. Because if he was listening, he'd know I had some trouble. Come on. Amen. And a lot of times we want God to speak to us in the house, but never the time when we're really in bad. We're doing bad stuff. Right? Come on. Like, man. The old days the prophets used to, they point out your sin. So they confessed before they got to the door. Who is it? One guy said, he said, what happened? He says, every time my dad, he says, I was a pastor's son, and I would be in the back, and I knew when the prophet was coming into town. And so I would confess all my sins and then go to church. So I knew, because those prophets back then would point out the sin. They called out, you in the red, you're sinning with a person in the blue. Come on. And so he thought, good. This time he didn't know that this guy was a prophet. So he all of a sudden, the guy says, and I want to speak to, he said, I want to introduce you to prophet so-and-so. He went, oh no. He's like trying, he goes, you son, come up here. Oh. He said, I literally got the hell scared out of me. He said, but you know what the guy did? He loved the hell out of me. He just started loving on him. In the midst of all his struggle and his pain and situation, he just loved on him. And he loved him so much that it changed his life. He became a minister of the gospel. Because, see, sometimes you got to love the hell out of people. Look at the neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, I just love you. Amen. I feel loaded tonight. How many got blessed last night? How you feeling? Good? Not great. Oh, see, that's what happens. You got to fight for your territory. Amen. You still got to fight, man, you know. Hey, that's why you saw me up here. I was jumping around. And I was, because sometimes you got to fight for your territory. You got to continue to fight, you know. That's why he said to you, because this is the fight of faith. Come on. You got to fight the good fight. Anybody like a good fight? You pay for a good fight, right? You don't have to pay for a good fight. Just go down to the street. You'll see a good fight. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Just hold up. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel loaded, man. I'm telling you, I'm trying to come down. That's what I'm trying to do. Amen. I'm going to release some of it in a minute. You ready? Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all have been harassed. There's been a harassing spirit. We're just talking about it earlier. A harassing spirit. Same time, every month, the same thing shows up. How many is that? Wow. Stand to your feet. And this is what's going to happen. Same time, every month, this happens because I've gone through it. And I was like, you know what? What is that? And we were just talking. Wow. The whole church. Oh, yeah, well, okay. Well, only the ones that have been harassed by some spirit the same month, every month. Same thing shows up every month. Same problem. Same problem. You ready for it to go? Yeah. How bad do you want it? Bad. Lift your hands. In Jesus' name, go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Never to come back. Satan, I drew you by the blood of Jesus. You foul, harassing spirit, you unclean spirit that has been coming and harassing, you spirit that takes away from their prosperity, has been taking their money same time every month, coming in situations like tickets or spending flat tires, car breaking down, those kind of things, house, something happens, finances, losing a job at the same time every month. I don't know who that is, but at the same time every month, you lose a job and God is cleaning that up right now. In the name of Jesus, there goes one, two, three. He's breaking it right there. Let him hover over you. The Holy Ghost is hovering right now. He's brooding over you. Every time you get married, a divorce hits. I'm breaking it right now. Boom, right now. Break it right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're getting free. That's all right. You're getting free. That's all right. You're getting free. Come on, let him do the work. If you want it bad, he'll take it off of you right now. Ooh, I feel it. I see it right now coming on you. That's the Holy Ghost. He's been brooding. He's waiting for the word. Jesus let the word out. He spoke the word and the Holy Spirit began to do. Come on, that's what he did. He began to do. And so that's what he's doing right now. He's been hovering during the worship service and he said, I want you to release it. So as I'm releasing, it's breaking off of you right now. Breaking off of you right now. Some of you, something with the kids, your children, same time, they have issues at school. It's breaking right now. It's breaking right now. In Jesus' name. Right now. In Jesus' name. Right now. In Jesus' name. That's right. You will complete. You will complete. You will complete. Come on. There it goes. You will complete. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And every year, cold and flu season comes. And you always say, I'm going to get the cold. I'm going to get a cold. I rebuke that now in Jesus' name. I rebuke those cold and flu season. You will not receive a flu this year in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, I break that spirit right now. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of compromise. Whew. The spirit of compromise. The spirit of compromise. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I cancel the power that Satan's grip has had on you that has caused you to compromise your walk with God. Every time you get closer to God, the enemy comes to pull you back. No more right now in the name of Jesus. No more in the name of Jesus. No more in the name of Jesus. Some of you, your life has been like a country and western song. You get stuff and it gets taken away. I rebuke that now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. Some of you have been waiting for the carpet to be pulled out from underneath you. You say, oh, everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, you go, but when is the carpet going to be pulled out? I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. Every word curse spoken over you through your own mouth, not by other people, but every word curse spoken over you by your own mouth that I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I cannot complete, I'm not as good as my relatives, I don't have what they have, I should have it. I rebuke that now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You need to settle it tonight with God, and you have to let the devil know you are taking a stand and you're not backing up and you're not quitting tonight. You got to tell you right now, I want you to tell yourself, I ain't got no quit in me. See what happens is the enemy hits you and you go, that's it. I quit. That's it. That's it. I'm tired of serving God. Years ago, that happened to me. And I'll tell you what, I backslid so far, you couldn't even find me. That was when I was young in the Lord. I didn't know any better. My mama got sick and I said, I ain't serving a God that doesn't heal. And that's it. I walked out on God. I shut the door and boy, I was a hell raiser. And ever since then, and then when I turned around, that devil got kicked in the behind. So I want you to kick the devil tonight. With your words, you say, I am blessed. I am healthy. And I am wealthy. And the devil is a liar. And he's burning in fire. Here it goes. One. Two. Three. You'll never walk that way again. You'll never walk in that compromise again. You'll never walk in unhealthiness again. In Jesus' name. Now say it. I'll never be unhealthy another day of my life. I'll never be unhealthy another day of my life. I'll never be sick another day of my life. The devil's come against me with a spirit of poverty. But Jesus said, I'll lift up a standard against him. So right now, the standard is being raised. Right now, the standard is being raised. Spirit of poverty that has latched on to San Antonio, Texas. I serve notice on you now with the authority as the evangelist that I have. And I bind and rebuke you off of the people of this house right now from the first to the fourth generation. Going into the fifth, sixth, and seventh in the name of Jesus. Come on, receive that right now. I rebuke it. I cancel its power and authority over you. That spirit of poverty that's tried to keep you in lack. And keeps coming back. You get a job and then it goes away. You get a raise and then it has to be spent on something. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. I cancel its root. I cancel its power and root of it right now. The enemy has caused your voice to speak those things into existence. And the authority that I have in Christ, the spiritual authority that I have, I want you to speak with your voice and say, I rebuke it now. I cancel my words against me. I speak blessing. I will be prosperous. I am prosperous, and I am healthy, and I am wealthy. I will not live on welfare. I will live on Jesus' name. And right now, I serve notice on Satan. You and your demon co-workers of witchcraft. Here it goes. I bind and rebuke you now. Come on, say it louder. In the name of Jesus. There are family members that have been doing santeria against you. And I bind and rebuke it now. And you may know who they are. And you may have, maybe the Holy Spirit has probably thought, told you like, oh, maybe they're doing it. If you feel it, if you sense it right now, that witchcraft has been done against you. You need to right now at the sound of my voice, you need to lift your hands and you need to begin to worship God with your own voice without music. We're going to worship. And then we're going to break that spirit of witchcraft off of you right now. Word curses through witchcraft. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the authority of come in Jesus Christ's name. Spell every hex, every word curse that has been done to the people of God. I bind and I rebuke you off of the people right now at the sound of my voice. And I cast you off of this premises now in Jesus' name. Any assignment that has been assigned to this church of witchcraft to cause the people in this church and the pastors of this church and the leaders of this church not to prosper, I bind you now and I rebuke you now in Jesus' name. I take authority over you and your demon co-workers. You imps, you leave this premises and you leave the people's homes right now in Jesus' name. For you have no place. The Bible says give no place to the devil. So right now we take authority over your own territory. Right now in Jesus' name. Take authority over your territory. I want you to stand to your feet and stomp it real hard and say, I take authority over my territory right now. This is my house. This is my authority. This is my territory. It's my business. It's my workplace. It's my car. It's my house. It's my job. And I take authority right now. Wherever I put my feet, I prosper in. Wherever I lay my hands, they prosper. Everywhere the soles of my feet land, it is for me and my house. And as far as me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus, you are Lord over my life, over my family, over my children, children's children. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment and meditate on the Lord. Breathe in real loud. Breathe in and exhale. One more time. And then exhale. Thank you. One more time. Big, 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 big. And then exhale. Sorry. Feel that? Feel you got free? Now, some of you have been having body aches and they started to leave as soon as I started saying that. Who was that? Raise your hand. Yeah, it started to leave, and you felt lifted. This is not even my sermon. God just began to interrupt. That's why I was waiting. You, ma'am, that pain in your shoulders is going to start. It's starting to lift, come off of you. Move your arms real big. Move them around. Move around. You start to feel free. Yeah, all that neck pain, the tension in your neck's leaving right now in Jesus' name. It's a symptom of fibromyalgia, and I rebuke it right now. I cast it out, and you do not have arthritis. That is a lie from Satan, and I rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it right now. You do not, and you will not. I command every bone in your body to prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Falling out, and things are falling with grace, and I just need to confess to all of y'all. I said, it's a good time, first of the year, I'm going to confess. And everybody just said, I can't take it anymore. Just got to be honest with you. I've been in the closet for too long. And I'm coming out. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm coming out. I'm going to be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, fire-baptized pastor. I'm not leaning back no more. I'm coming out. And everybody went, oh, wow. They were waiting for something bad to happen. I told them one time, I said, because, you know, people like bad news before they get good news, right? Come on, you know that. You like, come on, be for real. You watch the news to see what bad happened. What did ISIS do this time? So I said, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I said, you know, I had a struggle this week. And I said, I just want to be honest with you folks. I'm your pastor, and, you know, we all make mistakes, right? And everybody's like, yeah. And, you know, all the gossip ones, they were like, oh, they're waiting. And I said, I struggled. And, you know, I gave in to my temptation. They're like, whoa, oh my God, he's going to tell us something juicy. And I was like, I'm sorry. I said, I stood up there. I should have put an onion in my handkerchief, you know, maybe. And I went to the store and I looked and there was on a magazine. I couldn't help it. I had to look at it. And then I looked over here and there was another magazine rag, and I saw it again. I was like, and then I was looking at TV, and I'm flipping through the channels. And And I said, I couldn't help it. I had to look at it. And I said, I'm sorry, folks, but I gave in. They said, really? I said, yeah, I went and bought a pizza. So they were like, oh. I was like, see, I got you. How many want power? Come on. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, it says this. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He says, but you shall receive power. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says you'll get ability. Come on, somebody. Say ability. You're going to get not only that, you'll get ability. You'll get efficiency. Come on. Somebody needs some efficiency. Come on. To do stuff. And you're going to have might. Say might. You know what the problem is in today's church today is we're under the wrong influence. We need to get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. I've gone to some churches and it's they're not under the right influence. They're under the influence of some other spirit, but not of the Holy Spirit. But it says here, we're going to receive power. We're going to get might. We're going to get insight. We're going to get after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what we have to do in tonight is we have to say we want the Holy Ghost to come upon us. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. When I start talking about, there's a couple of things I talk about. If I talk about the glory will show up. If I talk about him, the Holy Ghost, he's going to show up. How many want him to show up for you tonight? How many want him to endue you with power? See, in Acts chapter 2, they were all in one room. It says they were all in one accord, not in a Honda Accord. They were in a one accord. And what it meant was they were all together in one place. One place, not only in a building, because you can be in one place, but not be together. Sunday mornings, Christians. Come on. I just came to bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to bless us. Because you can be in a service and not everybody be in the same place. Some people will be texting on the phone. Some people will be Facebooking on the phone. Some people will say, I have my Bible on the phone. Liar, liar. So, but they do. I admit I have my Bible on the phone. I have my Bible on my tablet. I have a Bible and, you know, a real Bible. And then I have, you know, Bible in here. Come on. Because if it's in you, then it'll come out of you. Come on, somebody. So it says here, they were in one accord. They were in one place, but they were in one mindset. See, the Bible says, let this mind of Christ be in you. Come on. And so they were in one mind, one accord, one thought pattern. See, that's why we have to renew our mind to the things of God. See, because once we get our mind renewed, then see, because supernatural things can't be wrapped around the carnal mind, because the carnal mind gets in the way of supernatural things. See, once you're endued with power, then you're able to do things that normally can't happen. Remember I know they don't have phone. Anybody ever remember phone booths? Yeah. A phone booth. Yeah, way back. I don't even know where Superman changes anymore. This is not a real Superman, because Superman used to go in the phone booth and then he'd come out. And now he just, I don't know what he does. He just, you know, he just comes out in his pajamas. So it said here they were in one accord, and the Holy Ghost will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. See, once you get endued with the power of God, Jesus couldn't even do anything until the Holy Ghost came upon him. I know they got little stories of him. Ooh, when he was a kid, he healed a bird. Liar. Not. They did. They did. Oh, that was, I don't know who taught that. I don't know if that was in Catholic school. Some of y'all remember that Catholic school. I'm sorry. Pray for me. So he says you'll be endued with power. You're going to get this efficiency, this might, this strength. And a lot of times we wonder why we're trying to do stuff in our own strength. We're like, why didn't it happen? Because there was no power. Because once we have the power, see, Jesus, when he got the power, when the power came upon him, that's why he said, he says, now listen, let me tell you something, disciples of mine. He says, I know you're upset because I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave one likened unto me. He's going to be just like me. We often wonder, what is the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. And he's the only one that can introduce you to Jesus. You couldn't even come to Jesus without the Holy Ghost. That's why some people don't even come to Jesus in church. Because he ain't in there. I know for a fact. I've gone to churches. Fried chicken. And it might as well be. Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets healed. Nobody gets delivered. Why? It's not up to Pastor Marty or me or it's up to we pull on God to come in and the Holy Spirit has to be invited. But how does he get here when everybody's in one accord? See, because I can be congruent with him. And I can be in one accord with the Holy Spirit. And yeah, a lot of things get done. But what about if you got in one accord with him? What if you got congruent with the Holy Ghost? What if you became one with him? Like Jesus said, what did he say? His prayer was this. He says, I want them to be one with you as I am in you. He said, these ones that you gave me, which is you. He said, I want them to be in you like I am in you. And them in me, if I'm in you, then I want them to be like I am in you, Father. And then them in me. And you know what that is? That's intimacy. Into me, see? See, and that's what it takes. It takes into me, see? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. People wonder, they always ask me, say, how do you have the power like that? I go, because I watch Benny Hinn. No. Because I know how to walk. They said, what did you do? I got to be intimate. How do you know your spouse? You're intimate. See, you don't know them until you're intimate. And that's the same way the Holy Spirit is. When you're intimate with him and you want to know him, that's how you learn his attributes. You learn the likes and dislikes. You learn when he shows up and when he leaves. Some people don't know he left. There's churches today don't understand he left. He left a long time ago. Because if you go in, you're wondering, how come nobody got healed today? Nobody got delivered today. Nobody got set free because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. So what are we going to do? We have to get in one accord with him. We have to get in one mindset. We have to get our mind under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Remember when we were under the influence, when you were in the world and you were under the influence, what did you act like? You know what under the influence means, right? Okay, I know some of y'all still remember. It might have been just yesterday. Anyway, when you're under the influence, see what happens is you're under the influence of a drug or an alcohol or something like that. You get under this influence, all of a sudden you lose your inhibitions. You lose the way you think about things, right? See, the devil has made a way for us to counterfeit what the Holy Spirit is. And so what happens is we say, ooh, I felt so good. I was so, ooh, you should, ooh, I was dancing. I was getting down because I was under the influence. You even drive under the influence because you don't care. People, remember, even when you were under the influence and you were at a nightclub, what did you do? You became a good giver. and you loved everybody. You're like, oh, girl, I love you. I love that. That's a nice outfit. You just love everybody. You just, and you gave. You just, buy everybody in here something. Put on my tail. Right? And you didn't care. It, you know why? Because you were under the influence. You got under the influence of something that brought you down, and the next day you just felt bad. You're like, you felt good. I don't care how I feel tomorrow. I'm still going to do it. And the next day you're like, oh, don't let me do it again. Why'd you let me drink? Why'd you let me eat those chili tacos? And you should have stopped me on the fifth one. Now I'm eating beef and cheese, and look what happened. Now my stomach's all bloated. You're all in pain. You're like, oh, give me a Tums. Give me a margarita or something. Right? You remember? You remember? You remember? It caused an effect that you didn't care. It didn't matter. And you wasted all your money and everybody looked good. Everybody. Some of y'all remember it too good. You're like, you know you did. You wake up, you're like, aye. How much did I drink? One of those. Because you were under the influence. And you know, it was all counterfeit. I mean, it was all a counterfeit to get you to a place where you continued to go downhill. See, some of y'all are thinking too hard. You're like, I remember those days. It affected your attitude about things. Affected your attitude towards people. Affected your attitude towards life. You didn't care if you had to go to work the next day. You'd stay as late as you wanted. Friday night, all right, let's go. Let's do it. Don't lie, because I used to. They call me. I said, I ain't going out. Friday, it was Saturday, Sunday, had to go to work on Monday. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. Nobody. I got an 8-ball. You want to go? I ain't gone. I dressed just like that. I went. Be out all night. I said, I'll just stay up all night. Because I didn't care. But then all of a sudden we come to church. Gets about 12. People say, I gotta go home. 12 o'clock, you were just now starting to party. All of a sudden, Sunday morning comes and the preaching goes a little longer than expected. Because you were timing it. You're like, man, I gotta get home because I gotta eat. Because our salvation's in our stomach. Somebody say that in the Bible. I think it's in there. And so what happens is all of a sudden we become, what do they call that, religious? And we say, oh, you know, hey, you know, all of a sudden you get saved. And all of a sudden you're time consumed. You're timing everything. I got to get home. Football game's on. I got to get home. The basketball game's starting. Because, yeah. Oh, no, I can't go to that revival because, you know, God might show up and then we might be there longer. Come on. But see, and then it's like, okay, if the pastor goes a little longer and people are getting saved, people are getting delivered, but then all of a sudden you're just like, well, man, I got to go. I don't know what happened. It's because we're not under influence of the Holy Ghost. Because once you get under the influence of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you don't care what time it is. And then the tithes and the offerings come up and you become a, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't bother you how much you give.
Talking to me.
You lock up. All of a sudden you get arthritis. See, what happens is that because when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you don't care. You're happy. You're in love with everything. You say, oh, how come? The other day I was at some church and they told me, they said, you're done? I said, yeah, I'm finished. It's 9 o'clock. I'm finished. I said, really? I said, how late do they keep you the other times? Oh, till 12, 1 o'clock. I said, oh. But see, when all of a sudden you're under the influence, all of a sudden time doesn't matter. How much you give doesn't matter when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's the truth, isn't it? See, because when we get under the influence, then all of a sudden the person you don't like in church, you love them. But if you're not under the influence, did you see so-and-so, how they came in today? Mm-hmm. She thinks she's all that in a bag of chips. She was wearing a hat. She thought she was all that. And then she had them Versace shoes on and a Michael Kors purse. And she just thinks she's all that. She had her nails did, her hair did. But if you're under the influence, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I get blessed. I love those nails, girl. Where'd you get them done? How much they cost? I can't wait to get a job. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you become life again. And the party, the house becomes a party. And everybody gets joyful. People get healed. You don't wait. You're excited about the extra innings. You're excited about life. You're excited to come to church. You want to come to church because something is going to happen to you. When you're under the right influence, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, you don't mind when the pastor says, come and help us clean up the church. Yeah, no problem. I'm there. Smile even if you got two teeth. Now, I'm not doing this to pick on you. I'm saying that we need to get influenced by the Holy Spirit again. The church, the whole church, the body of Christ needs to be influenced by the right spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you remember something. He's holy. Let us be holy as he is holy. And we remember that the Holy Spirit, when his holiness shows up, people get convicted. And all of a sudden, people start going, a holy hush. He's going to get deep in a minute. No, because the Holy Spirit is he is a gentleman. And when he comes in, all you have to do is invite him to be a part of your life. In Acts chapter 2, Peter got up and became one of the greatest evangelists. And he began to speak and he said, these people are not drunk as they suppose, as you suppose. He's telling a story and about a young man. He didn't even really know God. And he had gone to a church and, man, they were running around the building. I mean, it was a big church. They were running. My friend Alfredo took them, the guy that cuts my hair, and he had a hair salon at the time. And Alfredo says, go get that guy the Holy Ghost. He's from Venezuela, so he had a little accent. He said, go give him the Holy Ghost. Go do that wave with your hand thing and watch him fall out. He goes, you know, do like you do in the Bible study. Go like that. When you're in church, go like that and fall out. And so I was like, no, I can't do that, Alfredo. You know, we're there's a public place. I don't know why I was being concerned, because that doesn't bother me. So anyway, so to get back to my story, so the guy, I asked him, I said, hey, your name's Chuck? He said, yeah. He says, I go, what's the matter? He said, he goes, I think I just got a lot of pride, because I saw something today and I didn't like it. I saw people happy and running around and jumping up and down, and the music was too loud and too long. And I don't know. I've never been in church before. It kind of freaked me out. And I said, okay. I said, well, let's go outside. We'll pray. So I grabbed his hands and he got hit. I mean, he hit the side of the car. And he fell, and he was halfway. He looked like he was drunk, because he was halfway in the street and halfway on the sidewalk. And I had to go eat, because I was invited to go eat somewhere, and I had to go eat. And so this guy's out. He's laid out in front of everybody. I think people got a shaved head, because everybody went like, what? And everybody in the salon was like, what the heck? They were all like, what the? And they're all looking, and they're just like, what? And so all of a sudden, and so he's laid out. He ain't moving. He's not even talking, because he's out. And I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I got to go eat. I was like, come on, man, wake up. So all of a sudden, he kind of gets up. He goes, he's like looking at me. He's like, I can't move. And I said, what's the matter? He goes, I feel like a big angel sitting on me. I said, what? He goes, yeah. And I said, okay, all right, well, you want me to help you up? I can't move. So I grabbed him, and he couldn't get off the floor. He was stuck. And I was like, oh. I was like, man, I got to go. Man, I got to go. I was like, you sure you can't get up? So all of a sudden, then another guy comes out, and he's like, he comes out from the hair salon, and he walks out the door. He walks towards him. He says, what's going on? And he gets slammed against the wall, like, whap. And he's like, and he just boom, hits the ground. And he's scared. I mean, he's kind of like, what? And he's like, oh, my God. And he's trying to get up, but he can't move. He's stuck. So it was like a glory zone all in that one little area. And then all of a sudden, Chuck gets kind of up. He's like, sits up a little bit, and he goes, I love you, man. I love you. And so these other guys from the restaurant, there was a Ninfa's restaurant next to us, and the guys come from the restaurant, and they go, ¿Qué pasó con eso? What happened to him? And this is a guy, don't know anything about the Bible. Don't go to church. Never heard about Acts chapter 2. And he goes, I'm not drunk like you think I am. He says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And those guys went, okay, I'm out. Because he said, you want some? And he put his hand out, and they said, ooh, I'm out. And they took off. So then Chuck's trying to get up. He gets up and he goes, I love you. And he hugs me, falls back out. I'm like, oh, I got to go eat. I'm like, man, can somebody take the water? So the place closes and everything. It's 3.5 hours later. Wow. 3.5 hours. But he didn't care. I did. Because I was being religious. I was like, I need to go. I'm hungry. And so you know what he tells me? I didn't tell him that. He tells me, I bet you're hungry, huh? You need to go. So he gets in his car. This guy became a youth pastor. He married a young lady who's and her daddy was a pastor. And he just got on fire for God. And you know, he just He would have these experiences. He would talk to me on the phone. He goes, I'm feeling that again. And boom, he'd fall out. And he goes, I'm going to stop calling you. I could hear him from, I'm going to stop calling you, man. Because every time I call you, fall out. I'm going to go now. And he had a country accent too. So I'm going to leave. I'm going to go now because every time I call you, I fall out. And I said, all right, Chuck. I said, I'll talk to you. And so I get around him and because I don't know, he went back to the experience. I think sometimes we need to come back to the experience of where, you know, let me tell you, somebody in here needs to hear this. You know, whenever you're having a bad day, whenever you feel like quitting, you need to just remember why you got saved. Remember why you got saved. And go back to it and begin to rehearse. Is it worth going back? Is it? No matter what somebody does to you, what somebody has done to you, what people do to you. Look, I've been hit so often. You know what? I could tell you stories. You probably wouldn't even want to be a Christian. It's true. As long as you're a minister of the gospel, I know some stuff you wouldn't even want to be a Christian, but I can't tell you because I want you to stay saved. But I do have a list of people. If I backslide, I got a list, got names. Might as well go down good. If I'm going to backslide, I'm going to make sure it's worth it. I don't know about the penitentiary part, but it'll be good. Sometimes we got to go back to that experience. I believe the Holy Spirit has not been, some churches have not even been introduced to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that what we have to do in this place tonight, get ready. Lift your hands. I feel him right now. Holy Spirit, you come. What the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's going to be and create something in you. Some of you, I just heard him say, he says, there's going to be businesses created in here. Entrepreneurs are beginning to, he's stirring that entrepreneur spirit in this place. Because there's a reason for it. Some of you got ideas. You've had ideas about businesses, and God and the Holy Ghost is saying right now, get ready, because you've had ideas about a business, and business says, and I'm going to use that for the kingdom. Whew. He's stirring it up. He's putting it in you right now. And it's going to be complete, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He completes the word. Because when Jesus spoke the word, land, it came. Light came. You're made in his likeness and his image. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you become creative beings. So right now, begin to create. Come on, begin to create. Because what's in you is getting ready to come out. Ephesians 3:20 says, there's a power that worketh within us to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think or want or desire. And get ready, here comes. See, when the power of God's falling in this place right now, and as the power falls, all of a sudden it's like electricity comes on you. See, when you're endued with that power, you have ability, you have efficiency, and you have might. You have the might of God. Get ready. Here comes the might of God. Whew. He's dropping. Here comes the efficiency of God. Whew. It's dropping. Now there is going to be ability from another world. You got to remind yourself this thing
you are more spiritual than you are flesh. Now I'm speaking to the spirit man inside of you right now. Begin to prosper. Begin to strengthen right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit is brooding right now. He's coming down on you. The power of Acts 1:8 is coming upon you right now. It's coming on you right now. In the name of Jesus. He says you'll be a witness. He said he'll make you a witness. And so what does that mean? It means that you are not just being a Jehovah Witness. Not just, they're going to see you and they're going to know you've been with Jesus. That's what it really means. Not so much you're going to go out and prophesy. You're going to go out and lay hands on the sick. You're going to go out and do, because that's all coming. Because tonight, this is what's going to happen. When I pray for you, God's going to be able to impart the gifts of the Spirit and ignite your spirit, man, to do great exploits for him. But what after tonight, they're going to see, I've been with Jesus. Because once the Holy Ghost, people will see you and they're going to say, something's different about you. You don't cuss anymore. You don't have fear anymore. You don't have sickness anymore. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has not yet been told. Here we go. Holy Spirit of God, breathe upon these people in this place. Breathe upon your people. Stand to your feet. I want you to breathe in his presence. And then we're going to play a song and then we're going to come. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to have a new influence. You're going to have a new influence. Say, I'm going to have a new influence. The influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm looking for the influence of the Holy Spirit on my life.